the Word of God. Over in 1 Timothy now, toward the end of the book, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, Paul gives Timothy another warning. He says, "O Timothy, guard that which was committed to your trust." That would be the Word of God that was committed to his trust. "Avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge." And so in the first chapter, he calls it fables. And here he says it's falsely called knowledge. People say, "We know this. This is reality. This is true." Paul says, "No, don't pay any attention to that which is falsely called knowledge. By professing it," and notice the word here again, "some have strayed concerning the faith." People listen to it, they profess it, we'll talk about that in a second, and as a result of that, they have strayed from the faith. When we treat fiction as fact and base our faith on it, we have departed from the faith. When the people that Paul is talking about here accept human tradition as God-given law, accept things that they've heard about the Scriptures as if they were actually in the Scriptures without checking them out, they have departed from the faith. Religious beliefs based on tradition, for instance, religious beliefs that are just solely based on tradition, are something that the Apostle Peter refers to in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 as aimless conduct. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's aimless. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, "Knowing that you were not redeemed, it says, with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers." Aimless conduct received by tradition. It doesn't check out with the Word of God, but these people have listened to the traditions of men, to fables, to false knowledge. And what happens? You stray from the faith. So what do we learn from this? We need to watch what we're hearing. Jesus said in Mark 4 and verse 24, "Take heed what you hear." We don't just need to listen to any old thing. And if we hear something that is other than what we know the Scriptures to teach, we need to check the Scriptures to see if that's in there. If we hear a doctrine, somebody putting something out as teaching from God, let's do what the Bereans did in Acts 17. Examine the Scriptures to see whether these things are so. Don't just accept anything that somebody says. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul leaves a similar warning for Timothy. He says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith." Notice that word again, some. He'll use it in every one of the passages that we look at tonight in 1 Timothy. Some will depart from the faith. Some people will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Why do they depart from the faith? They're listening to the wrong teaching. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So he gives an example of some of the deceiving spirits, the false teaching that people listen to. And as a consequence, they depart from the faith. Some religions forbid people to marry. Some so-called clergy are forbidden from marrying. Some religions command to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving. But some say, well, you can't eat meat on this day, or you know, whatever. Food that God created to be received with thanksgiving. Paul goes on to say, every creature of God is good. Nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. But all sorts of false teachings out there in the world, all sorts of error that people spout off. We need to be careful what we listen to. We need to be careful what we accept. And we surely need to examine the Scriptures with much studiousness to find out whether these things are so. As has been implied in a couple of the passages we've already seen, the problem of listening to error is compounded when a person believes the things they've heard and then turns around and shares them with others. From listening to error to teaching another doctrine or teaching error is a pretty small step. Once you've absorbed that which is false, once you've absorbed that which is not according to the Word of God, it's pretty easy to turn around and share that with somebody else. In fact, that's pretty much the modus operandi of human behavior. That's how we operate. So in going back to 1 Timothy now, in verse 5, following up on what Paul had already said to Timothy, he says to him here, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So now you've got folks who've listened to other doctrine, and they've taken that in, and they're turning around, and they're teaching it. And they don't even understand what they're saying. They don't understand what they're saying, the ramifications of what they're saying. They don't know why it's false, perhaps. But they're repeating it. Again, it's human nature to do that. So we fall into this trap of not only have we strayed from the faith, but now we're repeating something that's going to cause others to stray from the faith. Turning aside to idle talk. The natural result of listening to empty words will be teaching empty words. The natural result of paying attention to fables will be that we believe fables and we teach fables. The natural result of listening to error is teaching error. In the 12th verse of the Epistle of Jude, Jude describes false teachers. He says about them, this is verse 12 of Jude, "These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead and pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." So people who teach false doctrine, you know, it's full of promise, but it's empty. They share empty words, and so the people who accept those words, their lives become empty. It's like waiting for the cloud to rain, looking like it's going to rain. Surely that cloud's got rain in it. We need rain. And it comes right over, and it doesn't rain a drop. Or you go to the apple tree in the grove, and it's a good apple tree. You know, it's brought forth fruit before, and you go to it expecting fruit, and it has nothing for you. And that's what Peter's saying, or what Jude rather is saying about false teachers. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, there the Apostle Paul says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." We need to watch out. Whether intentionally or not, there are those who would cheat us, deceive us with empty things by, as we've already talked about, things they've received from tradition, things just handed down to them, maybe that they haven't examined. How many doctrines, how many teachings are in the religious world today that people believe, that they only believe because that's what's been handed down to them? The vast majority of people who are anything religiously are what their parents were and their grandparents were. It's just been handed down to them. A lot of times it's been unexamined. There's been no critical thinking going into analyzing what you've been handed down. Just accepted it. Tradition. But it's not the truth. And then it's been shared by people maybe who it was just handed down to them. Vain teachings. Teaching other doctrines than the doctrine of Christ. We need to understand the ramifications of false teaching. And we need to understand how God views the source of false teaching, whether that source is knowledgeable that it's false or not. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, says, "But if even if we or an angel from heaven teach unto you any other doctrine than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And as I've said before, so say I now again. If anyone teaches any other doctrine than that which you have received, let him be accursed." Use the word accursed twice there. These folks don't need to be looked upon as kindly mistaken people. They're destroying souls. And what they're doing will cause people to be cursed. So if somebody's teaching a doctrine that's not the doctrine of Christ, Paul's clear about how we should view that. Because of the ramifications of what they're teaching, people will lose their souls over that. That's serious business. Some people stray from the faith because they listen to error and then they turn around and teach error. Some people stray from the faith because they reject a good conscience. Back over in 1 Timothy now. Notice in chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul is instructing Timothy to war the good warfare. He says, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. Notice there's the word some again. Some have rejected concerning the faith and have suffered shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Here are a couple of people that Paul specifically mentions. He doesn't just leave it now in the realm of generality, talking about some people as he has so far. He mentions that some do this, but then here are a couple of real-life examples of those who are doing what I'm talking about. What they've rejected, among other things, is a good conscience. I tell you what, if we don't keep a good conscience, we're going to stray from the faith. It is axiomatic. It will happen. Don't kid yourself into thinking you can violate your conscience. Do that which you know to be wrong. Teach that which you know to be wrong. Believe that which you know to be wrong. And you're going to allow yourself to do that, cut yourself some slack, so to speak. Don't think that you can do that and not stray from the faith, for you surely will. There is, someone has said, no substitute for a clear conscience. But a lot of people try to make up for it with a bad memory. We forget, you know, we want to forget about the bad things that we've done. And we fail to use our conscience for that which God intended it. This inner voice within us that guides us in the way that we believe to be right. And the conscience needs to be trained by God's word for sure. But it is our inner judgment about right and wrong, and it encourages us to do the right and not to do that which is wrong. We have within us several self-governors, if you will, that will ask us questions. We have within us the conflict between bravery and cowardice, courage and cowardice. And it asks the question, is it safe? Is this thing safe to do? Experience asks us, is it proven? Is it tried and true? Have I had experience doing this? Pride asks us, is it popular? Will it make me look good before others? Greed asks us, is it profitable? Doubt asks us, is it practical? But conscience asks us, is it right? Is it right? And once you reject a good conscience that's telling you to do the right, you will stray from the faith. Just like some did, just like Hymenaeus and Alexander did. Some people stray from the faith because they reject a good conscience. Some stray from the faith because they desire earthly pleasure. Turning over now to 1 Timothy chapter 5. The Apostle Paul is talking about the responsibility that Christians have to honor and support widows and laying out some distinctions between various widows, depending on their age and their godliness and so on and so forth, and how they might be helped and what they should do in their lives. So he's giving some wonderfully inspired advice about all of that. But he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, concerning some who are not as dedicated as they should be, talking about widows now, he says, "She who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. She who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives." The reality is that there are those who are going to lose their faith because they live in pleasure. They love pleasure too much. They desire that which makes them feel good, whether in a fleshly way or an emotional way. And as a consequence, they'll lose their faith. Read what Paul says about it further, starting in verse 11. He tells Timothy, "Refuse younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they've cast off their first faith. Besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some," and there we go again, the word some, right? "Some people, some younger widows, have already turned aside after Satan." Here are people that Paul can point to. These people have lost their faith because they desire pleasure. They desire to, you know, run around gossiping and being busybodies and that kind of thing instead of doing what godly women should be doing and be focused on. That's what he's saying. These women that he's describing, some, have already turned aside unto Satan. What a dangerous track it is when we get on doing things that are pleasurable to us. And our whole lives become seeking momentary pleasures. And it could be the pleasure of sharing or hearing some juicy story like gossip. It could be other kinds of pleasures. You know, we have in our country, a lot of people get pleasure from sports. A lot of people get pleasure from things like shopping, doing other things as hobbies. There may not be anything particularly wrong in and of themselves with those things. But when our entire lives become focused on pleasure, we'll stray from the faith. We'll be doing things with our time that our faith wouldn't guide us to do. We'll be pursuing activities, pursuits, things that faith wouldn't guide us to do. A person who lives in pleasure is dead while they live. It's easy to turn aside after Satan, doing things that I like to do. We need to understand this in our culture. At every turn, Satan, in especially our American culture, at every turn, Satan is offering pleasure to us. And if our desire is pleasure, if that's what we're going to go after, we will surely lose our faith. He may offer it to us in 1,000 different ways. It's not wrong to do something that we enjoy. It's not wrong to experience pleasure. God has made us capable of experiencing that and has given us a lot of ways that we can experience pleasure. But when that becomes our focus and our pursuit, we'll lose our faith. So many have the desire for earthly pleasure. The love of money, again, something that in our culture we see a lot of, but it's not just our culture. It's a lot of cultures. You don't have to be wealthy America to have a lot of folks, some people, who have problems with covetousness and seeking worldly gain. Same things found all over the world, cultures rich and poor. So the warning of Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6 applies to all. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some, there's the word again, right? The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some people have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If our life is focused on getting more material things, having more money to spend, again, getting back to the previous point on pleasures or whatever it is, setting ourselves up in a way that we're confident financially in this life based on money, all of those things will lead us to a bad end with regard to our faith. Paul says, some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. How true that is, and how much we need to learn that in our day and time and in our culture. And so he will say to the rich in verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age. And I've said this quite a bit as we've been preaching here at Eastside over the last few years in a number of sermons. In this country, we are wealthy, nearly all of us, nearly every last one of us, compared to the rest of the people on earth. I've repeated this statistic several times. If you're at the poverty level in America, you're richer than 80% of the people in the world. That's just reality. You would be counted among the rich people in this world if we think of it that way. Paul says, command those who are rich. We're rich. Here's what he says to command them. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good. Let them be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Lay up for yourselves, Jesus said, treasure in heaven. You want a big bank account? Lay it up in heaven. Use your resources to do heavenly things, to honor the God of heaven, to help people who are in need. Don't love money for yourself. Use it to glorify God. The real measure of our wealth is really not how much money we have in the bank or what our net worth is here on earth. The real measure of our true wealth is how much we would be worth if we lost all our money. Because then the only treasure that we'd have is treasure in heaven. And that's worth the whole world. Paul's warnings to Timothy are warnings for us today. And what he wants Timothy to see is, Timothy, you know, his son in the faith, a young preacher that he's really trying to encourage, not only as a preacher, but as a Christian. And what he's telling Timothy is that no matter what some people do, and you'll see some people doing all of these things, and it will disappoint you, and it will hurt the cause of the Lord, but no matter what you see some people do, he tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, you, O man of God, flee these things. You flee these things that some people do. You, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. A good fight of faith. Keep on fighting it. Don't let yourself stray from the faith by doing what some people do. Thank you for studying with us tonight, and hope all of us can take these warnings to heart as we strive to live lives of faith for the Master. We would love for you to get in touch with us here at Eastside. If you're not familiar with the congregation, you're welcome to check out our website, eastside-church.org. We are meeting 7 o'clock on Wednesday night for our Bible study, and again at 9:30 next Sunday morning for a worship assembly and a Bible study. We invite you to be with us in those assemblies. If you have a Bible question, my email address is on the website along with the email addresses of the elders. Feel free to contact us. There's a lot of other great information on the website, Bible study materials, videos of lessons and classes that have been preached here at Eastside over the years. We invite you to take full advantage of that. Thank you for studying with us this evening.